Show Me the Way, episode 34, Prospecting, Meet the Target Seeker. In this episode, we talk with Chris Gutierrez of KC Smartport. I've known Chris, God, back to the 90s. But we're going to talk to him again about his many experiences in attracting distribution warehouse and manufacturing entities to our region. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Thane LLP about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider. Joining me today is Chris Gutierrez. Chris works to bring very specific businesses to the Midwestern region. And for my listeners wanting to acquire market share via acquisitions and mergers, I thought it would be really important to go deep into this aspects with someone who seeks to find targeted businesses, that is prospecting, to bring to the Kansas City area. Because I think you're going to learn something here that is outside the box, as Chris will tell you the philosophy he uses in attracting targets to the wonderful arena that we know and love as Kansas City, Missouri. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. I really want and appreciate your insight and philosophy that we're going to get into a little bit, because it's fascinating to see what does someone like you do to bring businesses into an area. A lot of the people that I work with are in the M&A space, are looking to bring specific opportunities, specific business. You got to bring it to 2.5 million people. It's a little bit different deal, even though it's in a narrow area. But let's start a little bit. Let's get a flavor of your background. Where were you born?
I was born in Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame. A lot of activity in Canton. Went to school in Columbus at Ohio State.
The Ohio State.
Yep, yes, sir. They're getting ready to start a new season. Pretty comfortable how they're going to play, but we'll see.
They've got a heck of a football team. Do you go back to see them play
at
the Horseshoe?
Six roommates that I lived with, and we either pick an away game or a home game every year to all get together and go see him play. So, absolutely.
And so, you graduated from there, and what happened after that?
While I was in school, I had an internship with the Ohio Department of Economic Development.
Really?
I was fortunate as a sophomore to get that internship, and I had it for 3 years, Dave. So, after the first year, and it was a paid internship, so it helped me out in college, but after the first year, they made me somewhat of the manager to train the new interns coming in each year.
Wow.
Got to work with Ohio companies that were looking internationally, and it was a great experience for me. So, yeah.
So how did you know in college to do that, or that you would seek that out? I mean, that's not usual, and to your credit, I might add.
I'll tell you a little story. When I was in middle school and high school, I realized that my dad and I could collect American beer cans, ship them overseas, and they would ship me European and Asian beer cans. And I fell in love with international business. So my degree from Ohio State's in international business and marketing, my internship at the Ohio Department of Economic Development was helping Ohio companies to seek international markets. So it all kind of fell in place after that beer can collection.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I did not know that before we got on this podcast. And that means this guy has been targeting people ever since he was a kid. He's a prospector from way back. God, that is fantastic. So after you're done in the state of Ohio, somehow you matriculated, I think that's an old Hank Stram saying, back to Kansas City. What happened after Ohio?
As an intern at the Ohio Department of Economic Development, I got to know that there was departments of economic development, departments of commerce around the country, and Missouri was looking for someone to join their international team. So I moved from Columbus to Jefferson City, Missouri in 1989, worked for the state, Governor Carnahan back then, helping Missouri companies go international, as well as attracting foreign companies into the state of Missouri. So I got my experience there in Jeff City for about 9 years, and then moved to Kansas City, continuing to do international business.
So you know a buddy of mine, a partner here at the firm, Joe Bednar, used to be chief of staff. And
I know Joe Bednar very well.
There you go. So that small world. Here's the second thing I learned today. This is good.
Yeah.
So you're in Kansas City about 2000, is that about right?
Moved here in actually in 99, so yeah, almost 2000. And oddly, I worked at the state helping get SmartPort, the group I'm with now, put together. And I moved to Kansas City and actually, surprisingly, went to work for an advertising firm that wanted to grow their international business. Did that for a little while, did some private sector manufacturing work, and joined SmartPort in 2003.
So share with us, because I think this will help the listeners, share with us, what does Kansas City SmartPort stand for? What is their purpose? And what do you do for them? Because this is the key element, I think.
SmartPort was created in 2000. It's a not-for-profit economic development group aligned with the Kansas City Area Development Council, KCADC. What we do is promote the Kansas City region, as you said. We call it 18 counties, 50 communities, and two states, both sides of the state, for the attraction of new investment into the region. Specifically, you hit it early in your introduction, SmartPort's focus on industrial businesses, so manufacturing, warehouse, distribution, promoting this region for new investments so they don't make the bad decision to go to Dallas or Columbus or Chicago or Memphis or wherever. Our job is to promote this region for that. My job as president of SmartPort is to lead the organization. We have about 95 investor members. We've got a board. We've got three staff. And again, it's driving the mission and vision of what SmartPort is, but also working daily projects to attract them into the region.
See, so here's the analogy, ladies and gentlemen. His buyer is really the Kansas City region. I mean, he's doing it for a lot of different entities here. So he is no different than all of you out there on the buy side looking for prospects. He's bringing those prospects to Kansas City. You folks out there listening, those of you that are in the buy mode, you're looking to entice buyers to come back here to your company. And you don't always win those battles. So how do you do it, Chris? I mean, I literally don't know how you would go down this road. What's the process?
And Dave, I explained it very similar to you. I call Kansas City our product, and I'm selling it to buyers around the world. We do it a couple of different ways. We are very research-driven. We understand our product, the Kansas City region. What industries do we have? What economic base is here that we could grow? We look at the outside world, like you described. What are those industries that are trending, that are new, that we need to see how they fit in Kansas City? And then we're intentional and purposeful of becoming what we call industry experts that happen to be economic developers. I'm going to, for example, electric vehicle automotive conferences. I'm entrenched in that industry. I know what they're doing, why they're growing, what's happening in our market. And I build that credibility with them. And again, like you've described, you've got to be present. You've got to understand the market. You've got to understand your buyer or seller. And then you connect it to the value proposition of Kansas City, why it makes sense here. It's an incredible experience for us when a client shows up and they're like, hey, you were just at our conference. You understand what we're doing. You understand the dynamics and the value proposition that we have, and we can connect to that. So we target those industry sectors after really understanding them. And in my world, there's, like in yours, there's intermediates in between that. We call them site selection consultants. The ultimate client hires them under confidentiality to find them the best place to put their manufacturing. So we court those consultants all over the world to tell them what's happening in Kansas City, because they are our buyers as well. Their client is ultimately the decision maker, but we're marketing to both sectors, the industry reps themselves, as well as those consultants that represent them.
So do you start see, this is a lot, again, like buyer entities. They go out, they know their industry, they go out and do their research, and they start looking at targets. And then they go out and visit and they have conversations. From the time that it starts, it's just really a cycle question. From the time that it starts until you land someone, is there an average length of time that you say, we're going to give this 3 years or 4 years? Or is it wired that way?
There's not. And each project is different. We've had projects that have moved so fast, 30 days, they find the building they want. They're putting lease documents together and they're moving forward. We've had other projects I've got a project right now that's an Italian company that we started in 2019.
Wow.
COVID messed up that project a little bit. We're still working that project. So you're going on 4 years to attract that. They're still focused on doing the project, but it's just taken longer to move. So it's a moving target. Each company has their own levers and parameters they've got to work on to make the deal work. And we've got to respond to that. We become advocates of that deal versus trying to drive what we think they should do. They're the ones making the decision. So every one of them is different.
But that's insightful there. You want to measure up people so they're making the decision for their reasons, not for your reasons. But you're still selling them, obviously, on Kansas City. So it's like a buyer going like, I think you ought to be here, but I want you to make the decision. Let me help you make the decision, but I'm going to be harping on what you think is significant. Give us a flavor, if you would, maybe one of your, I don't want to use the word most successful, maybe most meaningful ventures you were involved in and what that resulted, whether or not you want to use actual names is not necessary, but it would be interesting. Give us kind of a real world scenario, how you started there, what you went through, how you got to where you wanted to go.
One of the most exciting and successful projects I worked started right before COVID, so early 2020. We worked with Urban Outfitters, major retailer, significant brands they operate. They were looking for a centralized distribution center. They had distribution and e-commerce fulfillment in Pennsylvania and Reno and some other places. They wanted what we called a heart, and we promote Kansas City as the heartland. Right. We started working with them pretty aggressively on what that would be, and both Missouri and Kansas had opportunities in that play. We worked hard through COVID remotely because we weren't traveling, we weren't meeting. And that project turned out to locate in Kansas City, Kansas, out by the Speedway.
Yep.
It's about a 1 million square foot facility. It will function as their main distribution to supply stores and their e-commerce platform. And Dave, you can appreciate this. During COVID, we all went online. E-commerce sales went through the roof. They saw tremendous growth in that, where store sales went down. This facility is probably a third to a half what we call a dark facility. It's all automated. It's all automation equipment. There's no people inside it as they look for efficiencies and productivity with that. It is a state-of-the-art facility right here in Kansas City that has now been a showpiece for other retailers as they look for these facilities. That group was easy to work with. They had a target. They were open book with us on what that was, and we worked very hard to win that deal because they had other options in other states, other regions, and again, about a year-long process, and we've landed them. We've landed a second facility for them in Raymore, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Did not know that.
It's a company called Newly that Urban owns that is a subscription-based clothes rental, like Rent the Runway. Mm-hmm. You can join, and you get clothes every month, so it's a very significant facility in Raymore that's like a large dry cleaner. As those comes back, they have to clean those, get them racked out, and move them again. Wow. Another 600,000 square foot plus facility. So we've proven to them that this is the market they need to be in, and they're going to be successful when they come here. So that was one of the most exciting projects. Our team also worked with Panasonic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people locally know about the Panasonic deal in DeSoto. $4 billion investment, 4,000 jobs, state-of-the-art industry in the electric vehicle, battery manufacturing. And now we're working a number of suppliers for them as well. Great project. Panasonic was amazing and continues to be amazing to work with. So there's two examples for you.
I was going to say that I drove out by the plant. I counted 13 cranes. When was the last time there were 13 cranes in Kansas City? And that's just on one site.
And that project is coming up fast because they've got to be operational early in 2025. So you have 13 cranes. They are working night and day to get that facility up and running.
So how do you decide? Are you given a mandate on who you should go after, or is that something that you determine internally?
From a company standpoint, no. We know the sectors we think are growing. We know what Kansas City can support. Some of it is reacting to them coming to us. Mm-hmm. Right now, Dave, you and I can tell it. You don't want to say your product's easy to sell, but Kansas City's getting easier to sell.
Yes.
We've got the Super Bowl champs. Everybody's looking at Kansas City. We've got the NFL draft that was here. We got World Cup coming. Globally, there's a focus on Kansas City, so we're reacting to deals coming in, but we're aggressively marketing our product out there. I'm on the road with my colleagues promoting around the country and now globally. No, we're not going to take on some clients just because they don't fit, but we're pretty open to understand why they might fit to Kansas City and how we can assist them.
And two, perhaps right now, the number one reason to come to Kansas City is we have the number one airport internationally in the year 2023, and it is glorious for all of us who've been struggling.
An incredible recognition that that's the number one airport, and they've proven it too. That airport's incredible.
So you must be out on the road how many days a week?
It's getting harder to balance because there's so much activity coming in that I'm not traveling as much as I used to. But starting this weekend, I'm going to be at a conference for 3 days outside of Denver. talking about logistics and opportunities in Kansas City, and then another trip right after that to Boise, where a conference is being held. So yeah, we're on the road a lot among the three or four of us that work within SmartPort, let alone KCADC's team. You've got to be front and center, like you talked about. You've got to know your clients. You've got to be in their space. You've got to tell them why Kansas City is the right decision.
You, I mean, seriously, you are an investment banker for Kansas City. I mean, no joke, absolutely no joke, that you are the private equity group for Kansas City. You're always out hunting. I mean, and that's why I think people will get it and they're going to go, why'd you have him on here? Do you guys see it? It's pretty straightforward. This guy's playing at the ultra high level from a strategic standpoint compared to the people that I know that are in the private equity arena. And that's not to defame them, but there's just a lot of comparisons here. Sounds like I'm going to get you a raise, I hope, or anyway, maybe get you a success fee.
Well, David, you said it. People like you and other people that know Kansas City is a great asset are marketing for us and then introducing us to their clients, or I made a contact at this meeting. We are aggressively promoting this region. We are not sitting back and saying, boy, things are good right now. We might make it easy. We've had an incredible 2023.
Yes.
But there's still about another 5 months, 6 months of work that we're going to keep doing to make it one of the best years in Kansas City.
So a lot of times I know with private equity groups and buyers that are out there, there's a lot of frustration. You got to kiss a lot of frogs. You spend a lot of time. What are the biggest challenges for you in your job?
You know, there's a couple of things. Right now, across the country, workforce is tight. The labor market is challenging. We can't just say that as a response to a client. We've got to show them what we're doing differently here. You and I and others in Kansas City need to talk to middle schoolers and high schoolers and others about this industry, about logistics, about transportation, manufacturing, that it is career-based jobs. So labor and workforce is a challenge, but we're taking it on and we're coming up with solutions on how we can help clients. The second one I would say, while we have a great dynamic market, almost 70 million square feet of new industrial space has been delivered in our market in the last 10 years, we need more. We need more land. We need more vertical ready. We need capacity on our utilities. We need rail infrastructure. All of those things are being addressed, but we need to push that we want more. The speed to market decision that clients are making now, they don't have a lot of time to decide. And, oh, you can build me that in a year. They want it underway now so they can make a decision and be in it in 6 months. That's promoting our local market to continue to build, continue to promote, continue to deliver vertical ready sites for these clients.
So you're out there, you're hustling targets, much like a private equity group investment banker. Now you got to go back to the ultimate buyer and sell it back up the food chain. So there are a lot of people in that part of the decision-making process. How does that work for you?
A lot of the local industry leaders, public sector leaders are part of our organization. We're on the same page of what the trends are. We're talking about what we need to do to promote and develop our product here, the Kansas City region. So everybody's on the same page. We're moving in the same direction, unlike other cities we compete against who can't get that coalition of the willing to move this market forward. Kansas City's got it, and we're doing it. Now we need to tell the industry that. So it's presenting a factual-based value proposition to those companies on why they need to be here and how we can help them be successful.
As you go on with this job, and I sense you're going to be doing this for a long time, or dear God, I hope you're doing this for a long time for Kansas City. How do you see your job evolving? What is it going to look like in 2030 versus what you're doing today?
Great question. I think we're already seeing the trend changing a little bit. For example, in distribution facilities, the companies are moving so fast that they're coming in as quick as they can to race for space. They want to lease a building. Our job has changed in that. We're not offering incentives and all these other things. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get them in a space as quick as we can. And then with nearshoring and ally shoring and companies looking to come back into North America, a majority of my deals right now are, Dave, are manufacturers, and a majority of those are foreign companies looking to come into the U.S. market. It's changing our approach to be global. We've got international travel planned for later this year to present that value proposition to foreign companies about why they need to be here. It's changing. In 2030, I think you're going to see the market continue to grow. Kansas City is on the map, is on people's radar screen. We're going to continue to grow. My organization has a couple full-time people. We just hired a third that starts August 7th because we see the opportunity to really continue to be proactive and out in front, and not ride the laurels that this market's doing good. and you said, you hope I'm here for a long time. I'm building a team. We're building a team that no matter where I am in 5 years, the team's going to be in place and we're going to be aggressive and they're going to be competent. And they already are at winning deals in our market.
If you had a wish list for what you do, what would that be? Maybe one or two items?
I think the continued recognition that Kansas City is where companies should be. We're one of 15 markets that has over 300 million square feet of industrial space, but Dallas has 1.2 billion square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago
mm-hmm.
the same. Wish list, continue to push Kansas City that we get to 500 million and we keep growing.
Okay.
We don't want to be a billion square foot market because then you get congestion and other mm-hmm. issues, mm-hmm. but we want to continue to grow. I think that's happening now, but wish list is that it continues and people recognize Kansas City immediately versus wanting to ask the questions of why Kansas City.
So is there such a thing as a good target or a bad target for you to go after?
Of course. The good targets are established companies globally, manufacturing companies that have a cutting edge technology that are pushing the industry to new trends. Those are exciting. Those resonate. It creates good skilled pay and high paying jobs. We're still a distribution market. We still want regional distribution, e-commerce fulfillment, national distribution here. And we're seeing it. And I think they're and bad targets. I mean, you don't want startups that don't have a proven track record that may or may not make it. We're willing to work with them, but you don't want to put a lot of effort and focus into that. And it hasn't been a proven technology. We want companies that are established and growing.
Yeah. And in fairness to them, you don't want to put somebody in a position they don't win. At
Correct.
The end of the day.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask you to be a little bit of a counselor now to those people that are in a position to buy businesses. I want you to be a coach, okay? If let's say you're going to coach, like, let's say, I don't know, one of the Van Tile companies or one of the, maybe Patterson's company, his foundation, when they're out looking for acquisition. I'm sorry to throw out names. That's not fair to them. I apologize. But by comparison, these are both entities that we know something about. How would you coach up the people that are supposed to go out and hunt for targets and prospects?
It's a lot about what we talked about. Do your research, understand your value proposition, understand your target, whether you're acquiring a company or jumping into a new industry. Do your homework, understand the market, be present in the market so they recognize you and you have credibility in that market. Be purposeful and intentional. There's a lot of competition out there. A lot of people have a business card that they're throwing around. You've got to add value to both sides of the deal, the buyer and the seller, and make sure that you're creating that value for them. And then in the end of the day, be aggressive because there is competition out there. You've got to be out there. You don't wait for them to come to you. Get in the industry and create value.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just met the coach and the consultant, Chris Gutierrez. You got to be able to take this and use this in your business. This guy's got a tougher job. He's got to do it for 18 counties. He's got to do it for the Kansas City region. He's got to do it for everybody that's in business here. That's a tough job. Ladies and gentlemen, you're only maybe doing it for one or a couple of small companies. So there's a lot here. There's a lot of content. Chris, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to know more about you, about KC Smartport, Kansas City, everything that's going on?
I would suggest our website, kcsmartport.com. All of my contact information is out there. My colleagues are there. There's success stories of what we've been able to do. There's market data. We're also out on LinkedIn. Smartport has its own LinkedIn page, as I do. There's plenty of ways to find me. I'm easily accessible.
Oh, this is fantastic. Thanks so much, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in search of assistance, please go to davesider.com or contact me at spencerfain.com. to schedule a consultation. And please be sure to subscribe to the show. Please rate it. Leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, be safe. This podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to create or establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with their attorney on their distinct circumstances.